you know, for the last few years, I've kind of treated the West Nile virus as almost a non-story because nothing really serious has been happening with it that I recall for quite a while. Are we having an unusual year for West Nile virus as it affects humans in Missouri this time?
So far, it is unusual compared to the last few years. One aspect that is probably a little unusual is that the first case that was identified came in late June, and oftentimes we don't actually see West Nile virus cases until late July or even early August. So we think that, you know, the early spring, the warm temperatures pushed the season forward a little bit.
I'm kind of how many cases have you counted in Missouri that you've been able to confirm?
So far, there are only 3 confirmed cases, but there are 4 cases that we have seven cases altogether that we have investigated, and they appear to be West Nile virus infections.
That's still a fairly small number for any kind of a virus, isn't it?
Well, it is very small. The outbreak in Dallas is much bigger. Oklahoma City, Tulsa. So this, fortunately, we are not seeing the level of activity of West Nile that they're seeing there. But yes, it's 7 cases is good compared to what we have seen in the past.
What kind of numbers do you have? Some numbers off the top of your head from the past 2 or 3 years that we can compare this year to?
Last year was also very. We didn't have a lot of cases identified. We came up to 10 cases last year, and then in 2010, we only identified 3 cases. So, you know, the virus varies its activity from year to year, and it's, you know, based a lot on how many mosquitoes are present in the environment, and it has a lot to do with the weather, too.
Well, I just had this feeling that West Nile is probably not all that it's made out to be. When I think of a virus, I think of something that's really serious that sickens a lot of people and kills a lot of people or has the potential to do so. Is West Nile's reputation overblown?
I don't think so. I think what concerns public health about West Nile is that it is so unpredictable. And so it makes it very difficult for us to keep prevention uppermost in people's minds, because those people who do become infected very often become very seriously ill and requiring hospitalization and, you know, possibly several weeks or even months of recovery. So I would say the problem with West Nile virus is that it is so unpredictable.
Mosquito-borne.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm kind of surprised that we have the number of cases we have in a year where there's, I would think, not a whole lot of water for these skeeters to breed in and cause problems with.
Mm-hmm.
As dry weather, it sounds almost like dry weather is a good thing for them.
Yes, it is. It's kind of, you know, what they say, counterintuitive. It seems like you should have more mosquitoes when there's lots of rain. And that is true for certain kinds of mosquitoes. But the mosquito species that carry West Nile virus actually, you know, they breed around people's homes. They actually flourish when ditches and guns, little, you know, barrels around people's homes, places where water can get stagnant. They actually flourish when drought and heat cause those little pools of water to become basically very rich in organic matter and ideal for mosquito larvae to develop.
Yeah. I guess we probably need to run through what the symptoms are.
Okay. Most people are going to not even know that they're infected with West Nile virus. There is a larger proportion. Let me backtrack and say most people don't know that they've been infected. Then there is a portion of people who develop a flu-like syndrome. Oftentimes there is a rash associated with it, but it more or less comes on as a sudden flu with achiness, fever, chills, and that rash is very characteristic. And then a very small proportion of people end up with the virus being able to invade the nervous system. And so those people with a nervous system infection may start showing signs, you know, that the virus is in the nervous system and causing stress and damage to the nervous system. So there'll be the kinds of maybe numbness or paralysis in the arms, the legs, slurring of speech, confusion, and you know it can progress to basically full blown meningitis or encephalitis.
How's it treated?
Well, unfortunately, there really is no treatment that has been developed yet for West Nile virus. So, as with many other viruses, when a person is seriously ill, the only options available are supportive care. So possibly, things like Tylenol and other drugs that bring down fever, possibly IV IV liquids, you know, to just help the body to fight the virus itself.
Is it the case of just outlasting it to a large degree?
I don't know if I like to use that analogy.
Okay.
I think that that there definitely is research that indicates that older people over the age of 40, 50, whose immune systems possibly are not as healthy as they once were, have a harder time fighting the virus off. So the age is a factor, although it doesn't necessarily, you know, people can become very seriously ill, even children. So it's not strictly defined by a person's age, but then you know many people these days have had organ transplants, or they may have had tissue transplant of some kind, and are on a therapy that actually suppresses the immune system. So that also can cause a problem in that, you know, if your immune system is being artificially suppressed, the body has a harder time fighting off infections, like West Nile.
Yeah. I recall reports of illnesses with West Nile through the years. I don't recall very many deaths because of it, and we've had a death this year.
Yes, you know, we did not have any fatalities in 2010 or 2011. I think you have to go back a couple more years to see some fatalities. What happens is that, you know, the virus can make a person, basically can make the, once it gets into the nervous system, it can affect the systems that, you know, the nervous system supports, for example, breathing. And so what happens is that people can become more seriously ill, actually, and they're not actually dying from West Nile virus infection so much as the consequences of what's happening in the nervous system that controls, you know, how our bodies operate, how we breathe, and how the kidneys work, and how the liver works, and so on.
Okay. Animals still get this stuff, don't they?
Yes. The cycle actually is a very complex cycle, and it primarily the reservoir host are birds. They tend to be the birds like sparrows, robins. Other animals can become infected too, but they don't generally serve as a host, meaning they don't ever get a viral load circulating in their blood where they can actually infect a mosquito. So it's birds that serve as that host, but then horses, for example, can become infected and very seriously ill or die. With pets and livestock, we know that various other kinds of animals besides horses can become infected, but it's not real clear that, you know, that they even become seriously ill. They, in general, it's very similar to the situation with people, in that, you know, if you have an older animal or an animal that is somehow, you know, has some other kind of existing health condition, West Nile virus infection can be more serious in an animal, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything that we need to touch on about this disease that we haven't covered?
Oh, just, you know, I think that, well, going back to what I said earlier about, you know, because it is out of the, you know, because it's so unpredictable, it's out of the public's eye, I think it's very easy to forget, you know, that prevention really does boil down to people remembering to use insect repellent when they're out at the same time that mosquitoes are out. We would, of course, encourage, you know, that people use an insect repellent that is labeled, you know, to protect against mosquitoes, that would have an active ingredient like DEET or picaridin that has been demonstrated to be effective against mosquitoes, and then, you know, to basically follow the label directions. Another important consideration is make sure that people's window screens and door screens are, you know, not letting mosquitoes in. And then people should support their local mosquito control program, either their public health agency or in some cities and towns, it's a public works agency that manages that. And we want to encourage people to support those agencies.
Is this a particularly good or bad year for mosquitoes generally? Or is that out of your category?
That really is out of my field. But based on the fact that the cases that we have, and you can find them online if you want to look them up, but based on the fact that the cases that we have are spread all over the state, you can just more or less interpolate that, you know, that it is a bad year for mosquitoes. And definitely, you know, the CDC is telling us that, you know, just in general, high temperatures really helps out mosquitoes because they grow faster. And in an infected mosquito, the virus actually can grow faster. So it's just knowing that there are cases out there showing up will tell you that there are a larger proportion of infected mosquitoes out this year.
Does the season go until we get a good freeze or something that kills most of them? Is that how it
works?
Oh,
yes. Unfortunately, right. The season will last until cold weather is established, and that usually, you know, that requires a few days of a good hard freeze to get the mosquitoes either killed or, you know, to where they have find places to winter over.
Well, we had a mild winter last year, so I guess we really ought to hope for something a little bit sharper this year to kill these things.
They will overwinter, and they can overwinter in an infected state. They can, you know, overwinter in basements, in culverts under the ground, drainage culverts, old houses, old buildings. So they're very clever at survival.
Hardy little guys.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I did want to touch base with you on the West Nile stuff, and and I, you know, if this thing grows, I mean, as you watch the situation in Dallas and Oklahoma City, is that any kind of an indicator to you of what we might be getting? Do these mosquitoes move in a direction or anything like that, or is it just that's their problem and we have our own problem?
That's correct. You know, the mosquitoes from Texas are not going to come here. But the general concern is that, you know, we are seeing cases. We have seen cases earlier this year. And so knowing that the weather is going to likely continue to be hot and dry, that's the major concern for Missouri, is that we know that it's here and we know that it's likely to continue. What's going on in other places, you know, often is a, you know, it's tied to population density. But in addition, you know, there are years when West Nile virus is so pervasive that we do start seeing people living in rural areas with infections, and that is what we have seen this year. Is if you'll look at the national maps for Missouri and our list of cases, they do sort of come from all over the state rather than just being confined to what is normally Missouri's sort of epicenter every year, which is the St. Louis metropolitan area.